What I'm here to tell you today is very short, in half an hour, about how we created the Kinderpuzzle, or at least a very small part of the television show, being the actual puzzle where people, where the candidates could lay out the puzzle and play the game at the end of each episode. We'll go to very briefly to the idea, the project, for those of you who don't know the Kinderpuzzle. Functional design, graphical design, shortly. Then I show some code, how we created the application, how we built it up, what are the components, some results, because this is this was created for a television show. We now have nice video fragments I can show you of how it actually was used. And then some lessons learned for us when working for television and when creating this Surface application. So first of all, for those of you who don't know the television show, it's the goal of the show, of the program, is seven couples need to lay down a puzzle and find out whose kids belong to who. So there are 32 kids, and by playing games with the kids, by talking to them, they need to try to find out which kids have which parents. At the end of each episode, they create this puzzle so they can actually match the correct persons to the correct or the correct adults to the correct kids, and that's where we come in. We created that that application on a Microsoft Surface. So why a Microsoft Surface? Well, first of all, it's a multi-user device, so the parents could work together in laying out this puzzle, which gives a nice dynamic between the people. It's intuitive. We created this application and we didn't have to train them or give any education. We just gave them the application and said, okay, this is the application, now lay out the puzzle. And it's very visual. So for TV, it's very nice. You can easily film it. You can film the people doing it. So that's also was an advantage of using this device. The project itself, very briefly. We got the assignment, or we were asked to do this on a very short notice. So we got about 3 weeks for creating two applications. There are actually two applications in the television show. I'm only going to show one here today. The other still needs to be aired, so we're not allowed to show that yet. Of course, it's a one, if I call it a one-time use software, so it's only used on 3 days. So all the shootings were done on 3 days. As you'll see in the code, some shortcuts were taken. It's not that it need to be installable and configurable, etc. It's what someone of us was there to manage it, which actually was not really needed. Some shortcuts, but nothing really dramatic there. When we came into the picture, the production team that created the show was already very stressed. So they had a million things to do with all the candidates and all the logistics being have to be care of. The games needed to be prepared. So we only had one face-to-face meeting with the creative people from the production house, in which they explained to us what they wanted or what the concept of the game was, of the television show was, because at that moment we didn't have a clue. So that for us was not that easy, understanding out of one maybe 2 hour meeting what they wanted, what we needed to create for them. And the graphical design team, which was actually the team who created the intro for the show and the titles and stuff, we have never met before, so we also saw them there for like 2 hours, which from our side was a little bit difficult to make sure that everything came together at the right time in the right place. So that's shortly how the project was set up. So very very short notice. So we started on the drawing board. We made a first functional design. We had this meeting, so what they wanted, they told us, okay, we have parents, we want pictures of parents, we have kids, and they need to be combined. So a first effort we did, you can see here, where you have These were the couples, or pictures of the couples, that was the idea, which when you touch it, it became bigger into the center. And then at the bottom, you have like a cover flow-ish thing we wanted to create, or a scroll bar where you can actually go through the kits, and then drag and drop the kits onto the couple. So this was the first idea we had. At that point, we didn't have any graphical design. We just came up with this idea, and we created a proof of concept or a demo for this. So I'll give a short video. So you can see, okay, image is still not, there's no graphical design whatsoever. What we tried to do here, you see the video in the background. Why did we put that there? Because we didn't have too much time to really implement a vector-based background with all kinds of movements, we tried to see whether we could easily put in a video in the background, have this play, so that the graphical team could then just create a video, which was their core business, actually. So that was that test. And then you can click on the button on the couples, move children from one couple to the other, from the other switch couples. So that was the first idea we had, and we showed them this video, we sent them this video, we had some mailing back and forth. And in the end, the conclusion was that this design is really too static. I mean, the couples are there, they're fixed, you cannot move them around. You cannot drag couples on the canvas. You cannot drag kids on the canvas. The only thing you could do was drag them onto another couple. So it really didn't, this first attempt really didn't felt surface-like. And it also wasn't really multi-user, because you only had one couple in the middle, maybe two. So we went back to the drawing board and came up with design number two, or functional design number two, where we changed a number of things. So what we kept is the bottom. So the scrolling issue for the kids we kept, because everybody was kind of happy with that. But we removed the couple, or the couple pictures, and we put them at the right-hand top corner. For a couple of reasons. First of all, to save a little space so that the screen wasn't that crowded or that populated. And also to be able to drag them onto the canvas. So in this version, you can then, if I find my mouse, drag a couple from the from this scroller into the canvas, move it around, turn it around. And you can drag kids just onto the canvas, just leave them there, which is something in the end we thought was a nice idea, because then people can put them there, think about it, discuss, move them away. And you can attach kids to the couple by just dropping them on the couple. And if you have two kids in the right-hand corner, I will show this in a minute, you get an indication of, okay, here are two kids attached. Something else you can do, or we envision to do, is that once there are kids attached, you can just put it back into the top right-hand scroll list, just to make some room and to make it easier to make the screen more clean for the participants. So this is the second drawing we created. In the meanwhile, we also had the first graphical designs, of which, excuse me, which I will show you a couple. So this was some of the iterations of some of the images we had. So you can see the kits in the bottom already. Here is the scroll wheel as the graphical designer envisioned it. So this changed a couple of things. Here you have still the straight lines, which then go to this curvy lines. Then there was a version where the kits are actually cut out of their pictures, so you have only this kind of form with a little glow around it. So these are some designs they came up with. And then we had some more discussions, because some of these things we couldn't really fix in the very limited time frame we had. We also had already the first version. So in the end, they changed it to this. Also because the production team had some inputs and they wanted to be a little bit more clean, not that curvy, not that Harry Potterish, as they called it. So this is what the graphical design was then that we got from the design company. The only remark, so this is what they did, is that here you will see that we created a slightly different control than they had envisioned. They had envisioned really a carousel. So this is a little bit more, a little bit different, and a little bit easier to create. We'll come back to this one in a minute. Okay. So this is then the first beta version of this version 2. Well, you will see that we just used a picture as the background, but on top of that, some of the elements already started to work. Okay, so in the background, this is filmed with a very low-end camera, so you can see the tearing. So you had the children, and as you can see, actually moving or scrolling around, we're doing with one finger, and drag and drop we're doing with two fingers. I'll come back to that later. You'll see here, you see him using two fingers. Okay. You can also see that this is a prototype. The kids are still flying around and not turning into the correct order, so there was still work to do. You can also see at the right-hand corner that we just click on the image and then it grows, so there's no scrolling functionality yet. So this was version 2. Oh yeah, and you could already put them away. And if you clicked on the right hand and the left hand corner, you could lock the screen. But that's a function that in the end we didn't do. Okay. So these were the first steps of how we started the process, what the functional designs were, or the wireframes. How we then created two prototypes. And the next thing I wanted you to show is some actual code, since this is a developer walkthrough of the application and some specifics we did to make this work. So the idea was that I would intertwine this with the surface simulator, but I'm not going to do it different, so I'm going to show the code first. And then after the presentation, I'll switch the resolution to something the surface simulator supports, and then I can give you the actual examples or the live demo of what happened. Okay, so this is our window. What parts I'm going to discuss about today, or I'm going to discuss today, because we cannot do everything, of course, is first of all the application itself. We call it the kids puzzle window. This is a WPF application, so we'll be doing some WPF here today. On top of the surface libraries being the multi-touch surface SDK. And this is, I think, version 1.0 Service Pack 1. So this is the first thing I will talk about. The application, what are the components on there? There are not that many. You'll see that in a second. And the second part, or the second control, or a control I will talk about then, is how we created this the scroll view for this application. So these two, I will try to give you some insight on the code and how we did it. So let's start with the window, actually the main application window. The surface application is a pretty standard WPF application. So we start with the main window and start from there. So this is the layout of the application. So we have the surface window, which is a special class or derived from window. We have a grid, and we actually have four elements on there. A media element, which is the video you see running in the back. We have a scatter view. The scatter view is a control from the Surface SDK, which allows you to move controls around your screen. In there, we created two special kinds of scatter view items. A scatter view item is actually a control that you can put into a scatter view, move around, turn around, stretch, whatever. So we had one for the couples and one for the kids. Next to that we had the what we called the couple scroll at the right-hand corner, and at the bottom we have the kids list box, which I will not go into detail, but which is pretty similar to the right-hand. Okay, so let me switch to Visual Studio now. And okay, so this is the main window. As you can see, we have a number of controls here. We have the background, which is just the video playing in the background. We have the control, the couple scroll control, and we have the list box of the kids list. Actually, there are only three real controls involved in this application. And then you have some images, like this one and the logo, but they are just images being shown or being hidden depending on what state of the application is in. Okay. Let's make some room here. Okay. I'm gonna use a lot of XAML today because that's how we, for now, or how we created this application, and probably most interesting for a number of you guys. So this is the grid, the media element, the scatter view control, which I will talk about, the couple scroller, which I will talk about, and the kids list box, which I'm afraid we won't have time to go into. Okay, first thing I would like to show you, which is a simple trick. You might know or you might not know. So we had this video created for the background, which I'll show you in a minute. And what we do, we have it just loop eternally with a very simple event. So when the media ended event occurs, we put the position back into the starting position, and then actually the video just plays continuously. I told you in the beginning that we took some shortcuts. This is one. This works okay, as you will see in a minute. There's no problem with that. The only thing is when you're dragging something, you have a drag and drop movement, in certain conditions, when the video is just looping, you might have a very, very brief, less than a second, like not black screen, but a part of the screen below the object you are dragging becomes black. Now that was an issue, but we discussed with the television guys that, okay, this can occur, it doesn't occur a lot, it only happens once in a while, it's very short, and there we just agreed if it happens during filming that they would cut it out. Okay, that was just a little bit opportunistic because we could do that. Okay, then we have the scatter view control, which actually does a lot of the work, yeah, all the drag and dropping and stuff like that. So let's open up that one. So we derived from the scatter view, which is the surface SDK control, and we added some features. The things we added are also pretty limited. We just added actually a drag and drop handler for detecting when somebody releases either a kid's image or a couple's image. In this event, we get some arguments, which is a cursor. Well, and this cursor is what is being moved around. And that is either an object being a couple data or being or a couple sorry an object being kids data. So we check whether the couple is already on the canvas. If not, we get the position of where the person has released the cursor. What we do here. This is a little check in the scrolling area. You know, at the right hand top side, you have the scrolling stuff. If people start dragging and dropping on onto that scroller, we want it to have a different behavior than just being on the canvas. In that situation, it needed to just get into the list. So this is what we checking here. In the other case, we just create a new couple scatter view item, which is actually, as I show you in a minute, derived from a scatter view item, and which includes some additional logic to handle the couple. The couple logic. So we add the data for the couple. We position it on the correct screen, on the correct position on the screen. We see what is the orientation, because while dragging, the user can of course turn it around in any direction. And something else we do is we remove the shadow, which is probably, if you have seen a surface application, typically when you move something, there's a little shadow under there to give it that 3D effect. Here we didn't want that, because we have some kind of glow around the images, so we just remove that, and then we add the item to the scatter view. So that's actually pretty simple for the scatter view for a couple. On the other hand, is make sure that is the topmost one, because if you the one that you add last is probably the one you want to work with. Turn it towards the person working with the application. This is something you can argue about, that a surface application should be 360 degrees. Yeah. But because here it was a very specific case, we always turn the couple into the correct direction automatically. Do this with some animations, and then if kits are attached, we zoom in the kits in or out. Okay. In the other case, when it's not a person, when it's not a couple, it's a kit, and we do actually pretty much the same. Yeah. We check that kits are not being dropped onto the right-hand top corner, because then they are like behind the control, so we didn't want that. So if you drop it over there, it just stays in the list at the bottom. We create a scatter view item, and we add actually add the kit to the scatter view. Something else we do here is, or we needed to do, is of course people can drag and drop straight onto a couple. So then we want them to be attached right away, and that's something we do here. Okay. So this is actually very briefly what the scatter view or the derived scatter view does. Let's have a look at maybe the couple. Are the scatter view items. Let me see that I don't forget too much stuff. Okay. So we have a number of resources, which is a style derived from a scatter view item, which we adapted a little to get our look and feel. But I'm going to skip this. I'm going to go to the bottom here, and here you can see actually that the couple scatter view item is very simple. It's a picture. It's a picture that we show. Actually, two pictures for the glow, the glowing effect. We fade in and fade out a second picture, and you have the connectors. When you add a kit, you get these either the curly braces I showed you in the beginning. So this is the XAML, pretty straightforward. As is the code behind. So we have, let's see. We have some functions to make it glow, make it what we called unglow, but I'm guessing that's not really English. Okay, I'm going to start here. Same thing. You could drop a kit onto the scatter view, and you can drop a kit onto the actually couple. So we have pretty much the same logic, or it's not the same, related logic when you drop a kit onto the cursor, onto the kit couple. So we create a scatter view item in that case, we add it, and we remove the kit from the bottom list. You can see at the bottom that that the kits are being fade out as well. You can only drag a kit once out of the... Okay, let's see, my time is already running out. Kit scatter view item. Pretty much the same, a lot of styles. And at the bottom, again, we have two images, very simple, which are bound. All the scatter view items, the controls, the bind, is everything is data bound to each other, so it's WPF. It's very simple to create this stuff, and it limits the amount of code you need to write, as you can see. Something I wanted to show here, which is maybe interesting from a surface point of view, is you have events. The scatter manipulation, so if you flick something or turn something, you get events that the movement started, it's busy, it has stopped. And these we use, for example, if you drag the kit over a couple, you get this glow effect. This is something we do here, so in the delta, every so often you get this event, and we just check with some simple math whether the center of the picture of the kit is near the center of the picture of the couple. If so, we make the couple glow, which you can see here. Which this is actually the size of the couple image, so that's a pretty straightforward math. But in that way, you can do stuff while you are moving. So you have manipulation delta. You also have completed, where we look whether there's a current parent. While dragging, we see whether it's above another couple or not. If it's above a couple, we attach the current or refill the current parent property. And when it stops and it has a current parent, then we automatically attach it. This means that you can actually flick it and it will gradually stop. When it stops above a couple, it will automatically attach to it. Another thing we check here, whether it's in the scrolling area, again, same story, right-hand corner. We don't want kits hanging around there, so then we remove them from the application. Okay. Good. I see I don't have much time left, so I will skip the code for this one. If you're interested, come to me afterwards, I can show you. This you can download anyway. We created this control for our use, but we put it on our blog, so you can download the code and see how we did this. I think it's the code online is not even for Surface, it's just a WPF control, which we adapted for Surface in this case. What we did here, to make it like the fisheye effect, we had this little ID to... or inspired by the house bell, the house curve. So we just use that function. And with the three parameters, we can then easily define whether it needs to go wide, whether it needs to go slow. So that's, well, it was a nice exercise to do. And we just data bind this. So we have the scale X, scale Y. We data bind to the value of the function. So depending where the image is on the axis, we data bind this to the function, and then you get this very nice effect for almost no code at all. Okay. Some last remarks. When we then move a surface is a rather big device, so it's nice to give demos, but it's a little bit awkward to move around. It weighs around 100 kilos. And you need, most of the time, you need to build it in. So when we do television shows, it always has to build in. So that is what we, it has to be built in. So that is what we are doing here. Okay. And then, very shortly, some code. Sorry, I'm so used to talking about code. Some footage of the actual camera. So they took 3 days of footage. They didn't really stop. So they have a lot of imagery. You will see that it's sometimes it's shaky, and they're turning the camera around and they're filming other stuff, as you can see. And you, of course, you can see our application. And then they start editing the program, and I have like 20 seconds of that as well. So, and then in the actual television show, which some of you might have seen already, it becomes something like this. Before I switch to the surface, some lessons learned. The 1 and 2 finger gesture was very difficult. It's not difficult, it's something we needed to think about. It's the only thing we had to explain how to do it. And we should have built in a function reset to last position just to, because there's a lot of filming and they need to restart and stuff like that, so that would have been nice. And another lesson learned for us is when you go to a television show, take a good book, because if your software is okay and it runs, there's a lot of waiting involved. So you sit there around doing nothing most of the time. Okay. If you have questions or you want to see the actual application, which unfortunately I couldn't show, please come down. I will show it to you here, and then you can play with it if you want. You see I have a couple of mice attached to my computer. So you can do multi-touch, because with a single mouse it's a little difficult. Okay, thank you very much.